Monroe?
Good morning. May it please the court. The petition in this case arises in connection with an FMC order and a proceeding before the FMC. The FMC decision, which was a 2-to-1 decision of the commission, held that an agent acting on behalf of an OTI, a transportation intermediary, is required itself to be independently licensed in order to do so. Now, petitioner Landstar is a NVO, a non-vessel operating common carrier, and it challenges the decision only to the extent that it applies to NVOs. As we, I think, pointed out in the brief, an OTI is defined as either an NVO, NVOCC, or a ocean freight forwarder.
What's happening out there right now?
In terms of the use of agents?
Yeah, and the licensing.
Historically.
No, I mean now.
Oh, you mean in terms of the licensing?
Are agents of NVOCCs obtaining forwarding licenses or NVOCC licenses, or what's going on since this decision?
With respect to Landstar, which developed its business model based upon agents, has attempted to get its agents licensed, and many of its agents have applied for licenses.
Which kind of license?
Well, I believe they applied for NVOCC licenses to the extent that they could or they were qualified.
Have they been getting them?
I don't know that anybody
slow?
Any have been Sorry. Yes has been have been granted.
I'll ask the other side that too.
The issue of whether or not they need to seek a NVO license or a freight forwarder's license really did not become clear until the briefing in this case, because the FMC decision itself appears to say that based upon the statutory definitions of NVO, NVOCCs and freight forwarders, that if you're going to be an agent for an NVOCC, you have to get an NVOCC license to perform NVOCC services. Petitioner Landstar takes issue with that because it's inconsistent with the language of the statute itself, the Shipping Act. The Shipping Act defines an NVOCC as a common carrier, similarly defines a common carrier as someone who holds itself out to provide the actual transportation and assumes responsibility for the transportation. An agent acting on behalf of a licensed NVOCC, which Landstar is, does not satisfy the statutory definition of an NVOCC. It doesn't hold itself out to the public as providing the transportation, and it doesn't assume responsibility for the transportation. Based upon the definitions in the statute itself, an agent is not acting as an NVOCC unless it's doing those two things, holding itself out and assuming a responsibility. And because it's not acting as an NVOCC, under Section 19 of the Shipping Act, which is the licensing provision, it is not required to be licensed, because the Section 19 basically says you're required to get an OTI license if you're acting as an OTI.
Some of these agents act as forwarders as well?
Not for Landstar. The commission's opposition brief, they raise an interesting issue question. They say, it appears to me that they concede that the statute itself does not require an NVOCC license for an agent that does not hold itself out or assume responsibility for the transportation. But they say instead these agents are really acting in the nature of freight forwarders. Freight forwarders are separately defined in the Act, in the Shipping Act, from NVOCCs, and they have distinct functions and distinct obligations and distinct limitations. And the agents that act on behalf of an NVOCC are not providing forwarding services. They are providing NVOCC services on behalf of their principal. The suggestion that that you could call what they're doing providing forwarding services is really inconsistent, I think, as we pointed out in our reply brief. It's inconsistent with the Commission's own regulations, which define what our NVOCC service is and what our freight forwarding service is. But even aside from that, the position that that agents acting on behalf of NVOCCs can be licensed as forwarders and then everything would be okay is inconsistent with the Commission's own regulations, which have existed for some time, because the Commission's own regulations say that a common carrier, which includes an NVOCC, can provide forwarding services without a license itself or through agents.
Let me ask you the historic question that you were about to answer before. Before the last couple years, did agents of NVOCCs obtain licenses? Or were there not agents acting in this capacity because it was done in-house, so to speak?
Well, it can be done in-house, but also agent. I mean, the forwarding industry and the NVO industry is basically founded on the idea of using agents and agents, particularly with respect to NVOCCs, because they assume the responsibility for the transportation from point A to point B, which means that they have to be responsible providing everything from point A to point B. Now, point A may be, you know, somewhere in the world, and point B somewhere very far away. Unless you're going to have an enormous, unless forward NVOCCs are only going to be enormous companies that have, you know, the ability to have an office in Turkey and in Uzbekistan and in China and the U.S., then they're going to have to use agents. And that's really the basis of the industry. And that's the efficiency of the—
And historically, have those agents been licensed?
Some of them have been, some of them are not.
And when they were they licensed as NVOCCs, or what were they licensed as?
I think their licenses would be, to be honest, would have been independently obtained for their own purposes. If they're acting, it is possible, for instance, if I were an NVOCC and you were acting as my agent in a particular place, you might have your own business, and you're acting for me as an agent is only part of that. And so for your own business, you might have your own license.
Own NVOCC license.
Or forwarding license.
Or forwarding license, I see.
But the issue, I think, the key issue here is does the statute support the holding that, you know, an agent acting on behalf of an NVOCC itself have to be licensed as an NVOCC? And it appears to be just flatly contradicted by the plain language of the statute itself.
Now the Commission says to that alternatively, even if that's correct, even if the Shipping Act doesn't require or authorize what they've done here, the Section 51531C of the regs does,
right,
by prohibiting a licensee to have someone else use its name unless they're an employee of the licensee. So why don't you run afoul of that?
Well, that's the other side of the coin. They're saying, well, if NVOCC agents don't have to be licensed under the statute, we can still prevent licensed NVOCCs from using agents, unlicensed agents. The problem, I think, with that argument is, number one, 51531C doesn't say anything about whether an agent is licensed or not. It just doesn't address that issue.
It doesn't, but it does say not to use the name unless you're an employee. So would an agent, an unlicensed agent, be able to function without using the name?
Probably not.
Then why doesn't this preclude your business plan?
Because it's inconsistent with the Commission. Well, it's inconsistent with the statute, yes, but it's also
51531C.
I'm sorry?
51531.
Yes, I believe so, but
it's a little
also
late in the day to be challenging that, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
A little late in the day to be challenging that?
51531C? 51531C was not the basis for the decision.
But you want to tell us it's inconsistent with the statute.
Well, it's also inconsistent with the Commission's own regulations, which I think we pointed out in our brief.
This is the Commission's own regulation.
I'm sorry?
This is the Commission.
Yes, but the Commission also has Regulation 515.4C.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Let's stay with this one.
All right.
It may have two regulations that are at war with each other. Let's look at this one first.
Okay.
Why doesn't this one effectively bar what you want to do?
Because it is based upon the interpretation of the statute, which underlies the entire decision, which says that any person or agent who performs an NVOCC service thereby acts as an NVOCC, or more broadly, any person who performs an OTI service acts as an OTI for the purposes of licensing.
Let's say you're right. Let's say this is in conflict with the statute.
Right.
You had 60 days after its enactment within which to seek review of it. Maybe you can raise this in an adjudication that penalizes you for running afoul of it. But I don't see how you can assert the invalidity of the regulation now or ask us to reverse the commission's declaratory order on the basis of the invalidity of something that's established.
But, Your Honor, our position is that the FMC decision itself essentially raised a new interpretation of that section. That section does not say specifically what the commission says it says, and it's definitely a different.
You said it does preclude your business plan.
If
it's valid.
If in fact it were valid, then yes, it would. But it is a new interpretation that is basically based upon the new FMC decision. And so the FMC, our position is the FMC has re-raised that decision, reopened whatever that interpretation means. It's reopened it and or reconsidered it and reinterpreted it, which would again start the 60-day period. And in particular, you can see that because it is flatly, as Your Honor noted, it's flatly contradictory with another regulation.
But one second, I want to stay with your first point. Sure. You're saying because it gave it a new interpretation in this declaratory order, that reopened the validity question, and that may be a fair point. But if your problem is occasioned both by the new interpretation and the old one, does it matter?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understood that.
If this provision, 31C,
right,
precludes your operation, your business plan, under the old interpretation or under the one you say the commission has now adopted,
right, the new
then
one,
it doesn't matter whether that the new one may be incorrect. Right?
But I don't believe it. Our business plan, Landstar's business plan, would be barred by the old interpretation.
Okay.
Because
why
the
is that?
I'm sorry.
Why is that?
Well, because if you look at 515.4C, 515.4C says that an ocean common carrier can provide freight forwarding services through an unlicensed through by itself or through an agent without being licensed. That provision is directly contradictory to the commission's new interpretation of that section 31C. Okay, and the new interpretation of 31C is based upon the underlying interpretation of the Act, the licensing section of the Act, which says a person that performs any OTI service is thereby, quote, acting as an OTI for the purposes of licensing. Now, that's obviously not true. I don't mean to be presumptuous, but it's obviously not required by the statute, and it's not true because in the FMC decision itself, they make clear that some people can perform OTI services and not be licensed.
I understand that argument, but that's an argument that 4C unhorses the new interpretation.
Yes.
Doesn't tell you about the old interpretation. Well, tell us about the old interpretation.
If you look at 515.4C, it says that it has two parts of it. It says an ocean common carrier can provide freight forwarding services through an unlicensed agent. But then it goes on in the second sentence to say, but that the charges have to be pursuant to the carrier's tariff. Now, that necessarily would mean that any unlicensed agents providing those services would have to be using the name or the license of the ocean common carrier, which is exactly contradictory to the new interpretation of 31C. Prior to this interpretation of 31C, I'm not aware of 31C ever being used in this context to say that any agents used by any NVO, or for that matter any forwarder, but in particular any NVO, has to be licensed, because 31C does not even address the question of license. And in fact, if you read 31C in the way that the commission seems to be reading it, even if the agent were licensed, they would still be using your name and your license to provide NVO services. So the new interpretation, you know, clearly does not make sense. It's contradicted by the commission's, you know.
Let me stop you on that last point. You just said, I think, that 31C would not permit licensed agents at all.
Yes, that's what it, you know, under that would be the necessarily implication, at least for NVOCCs, because any agent of the
– even the commission's interpretation is inconsistent with this regulation, because it contemplates the ability of agents to become licensed.
Yes. I see I'm out of my time.
Are they licensed as agents of the NVO? I mean, how does the licensed agent's license read? In the name of what?
If an agent is licensed, the license would be in its own name.
All right, not as an agent of...
No, it would be in its own name. But if it were acting as an agent on behalf of an NVO, for instance, an NVO who issued a bill of lading for that transportation, it would have to be providing services under that bill of lading, which has the name and is under the license of the NVO. I'm sorry, did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank
you. Let me ask you before you sit down, though. In the agency's brief, there's something new that doesn't appear in the declaratory order, right? A clarification, I suppose they would say, that the license... that the agent of an NVO, in order to provide NVO services, would need to be licensed as an NVO as opposed to a freight forwarder, correct?
Well, actually, they're saying the opposite.
All right,
what the original decision seemed to say was, and should have said, because that's really what would be the issue that we're raising, is an agent for an NVO has to be licensed as an NVO to provide NVO services. Okay. What they say in their opposition brief is that, well, if we can't license NVOs under the statute, they're essentially characterizing what an agent would be doing for an NVO as providing freight forwarding services instead of NVO services, and saying, well, there's no holding out requirement in the statute for that, and therefore we can require that agent to have a forwarding license. But again, that's inconsistent with the statute. The statute distinguishes between forwarders and NVOs and allows them to do different things and limits them from doing different things. And the commission itself does not issue a...
That takes me to a need for clarification, simply because you're talking to a landlubber here. What is the difference between the freight forwarding service of preparing and processing an ocean bill of lading versus the NVO service of issuing a bill of lading?
By issuing, only the NVO or its agent has the ability to issue, it's like signing a contract, basically. If we're negotiating a contract, you can prepare a draft for the contract, but unless I sign it and agree to it, it's not a contract that's binding on me. And
so
it's the same thing.
Like goods to the freight forwarder,
right.
And he prepares the contract and I sign it. Until it goes over to the NVO and comes back, it's not
right. Until the NVO issues the bill. I mean, the shipper can fill out, this is what I'm shipping, and this is what the rate you quoted me, but it eventually goes to the NVO, and the NVO has to sign it and issue it. If he doesn't do that, it's not a bill of lading.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Monroe, we'll give you some time for rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court. The petition before the court should be denied because it would upset the regulatory scheme created by Congress to protect the public from unlicensed OTIs. Section 19 clearly indicates that all persons are prohibited from performing ocean intermediary services unless it first obtains a license from the commission.
Well, that's not what it says.
Yes, Your Honor.
It may not act as an ocean transportation intermediary.
It says you may not act. However, NVOs, ocean freight forwarders, only conduct business by providing services. So it is axiomatic from those terms in the plain language that it is speaking to ocean transportation intermediaries providing services. As a result,
but an agent who does one of these ancillary services or related services is not itself an ocean transportation intermediary, correct?
Well, it depends on what sorts of services the entity provides.
Suppose it's one that's not holding itself out as a common carrier.
Well, ocean freight forwarders don't hold themselves out as common carriers, yet they are providing ocean transportation intermediary services. The difference being is that in certain places, the commission has spoken to the fact of trucking services, warehousing services. Those are normally discrete business transactions that are indispensable to an OTI's operations.
Do they have to get licenses now?
They would not have to obtain licenses.
Why not?
Because that discrete business operation, that transaction, is the trucker would be performing trucking services. It's necessary for the ocean transportation as far as the OTI goes, but it's a discrete transaction that you or I could go out and
well, who does have to get licenses then? I'm a little confused, I guess. I read your brief to be quite a bit different from the commission's order, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'll give you a chance to explain. What kind of licenses need to be obtained, and who needs to obtain them?
Well, anyone who provides ocean transportation intermediary services in general.
Which can be either forwarding or NVO CC.
Yes, and the services provided by OFFs, ocean freight forwarders, and NVOs really merge. I mean, if you look at the definitions of ocean transportation, freight forwarder services and NVO services,
two questions on that. They may merge, but the regulations define them quite differently.
They define them differently.
Differently, maybe not quite.
As you've indicated, the issuing of bill of lading is done by an NVOCC.
Sure, however, different things, right? A freight forwarding is different from NVO.
Well, ocean freight forwarders provide services for shippers. An NVO is a shipper as to the ocean carrier. It also acts as a carrier. OFFs also provide services to vessel operating common carriers. So what a forwarder does
is... I'm
sorry?
Did the commission say all of this?
Yes, we did. In referring to Union Transport case, it's long been in the... functions of forwarders have long been known, that they provide services on behalf of shippers. The definition of NVO in statute indicates that an NVO is a shipper as to its to the vessel operator and as a carrier as to its customer. Freight forwarders provide those services for common carriers.
How about someone who provides NVO services but not freight forwarding services? An agent of an NVO CC that provides NVO services as defined in 515.2 but doesn't provide freight forwarding services, do they have to obtain a license?
An agent would, yes, because...
And what kind of license?
It would obtain whatever license it qualified for. If it were going to hold out separately...
If it obtains a forwarding license, sorry to ask all these questions, but I'm trying to understand. If it obtains a forwarding license, can it then perform NVO CC services that are not forwarding services?
It can, to the extent that there are NVO services that differentiate from OFF services, they are very few and far between. They cannot issue
this, but your regs have a whole list of 13 things that qualify as freight forwarding services and 8 things that qualifies NVOCC services, and maybe there's some overlap there, but I take it it's not completely merged.
There's a great deal of overlap. And
so can an OFF that is an agent of an NVO issue a bill of lading?
They cannot. They wouldn't be issuing a bill of lading. They'd be preparing a bill of lading.
That answers it, at least in one example. Mm-hmm.
It's not complete overlap.
Not complete overlap, yet an NVOC, an agent that is licensed as an NVOCC for its own purposes, not because we require it, they could perform agency services as an agent for a licensed NVO that issues the bill of lading. That agent NVO would not be issuing that bill of lading. They would be preparing the bill of lading like a freight forwarder does.
Is that because of a legal limitation or because of the business relationship?
Well, the NVO that is issuing the bill of lading, the bill of lading has his name on it, and he is the one holding out as a common carrier and assumes responsibility. That agent NVO is not assuming those. And as we've said in our brief, we don't require agents to obtain an NVOCC license for which they're not qualified. They can obtain an ocean freight forwarder license. However, if they do qualify separately.
If they obtain the ocean freight forwarder license, they then can do NVOCC services.
On behalf.
That are not forwarding services.
That are. It seems a little illogical to me. Well, they can perform virtually every function that an NVO can.
Virtually is a key word there.
But in practice, I think that...
In practice, that raises another question, which is, does everyone know how this works out there in the industry right now? Is everyone clear on the rules of who needs to get a license and who doesn't? Because it seems very confusing to me.
Well, I think based upon Team Ocean's petition, it indicates that they have operated using not separately incorporated branch offices, which they have to post additional financial responsibility and be reported to the commission as a result.
I can imagine there are a lot of agents out there who aren't licensed, who aren't aware that they need to be licensed.
The commission, via its Bureau of Certification and Licensing, Consumer Affairs Dispute Resolution, and Bureau of Enforcement, always has their ear to the ground to pick up where someone is acting as an ocean transportation intermediary without a license. And to that
it would
degree,
be acting as an agent without a license, I guess.
The commission looks at it that those agents, if they are performing ocean transportation intermediary services, are unlicensed and need to be themselves.
Okay, so whether the enforcement agent shows up at your door and says, you're doing this, you need a license, an OFF license, I guess, yeah.
Whatever that agent or entity qualifies for. If they're not going to hold out as an NVOCC, they wouldn't apply for an NVO license, I assume. However, they could find a qualified individual who has sufficient experience and obtain a license as an NVO if they wanted to conduct their own NVO business.
Okay.
That being said, I believe that the key here is that.
Let me ask you another one. What would be the practical harm if Commissioner Dye's interpretation had prevailed? What would be the practical harm here?
It would create a new system that's distinctly different from what we have in place today.
Yeah, how?
Well, you would have agents that don't qualify as NVOCCs acting for NVOCCs, and yet their services at least bring them within the requirement as a freight forwarder to be licensed. Yet, because they're not holding out, they would get a free pass. Others who perform ocean freight forwarder services.
They would get a free pass from the licensing. If they do something that creates liability, isn't the principal liable?
The principal is liable. However, in an agency relationship, without the separate license and financial responsibility, you have some additional problems. You have to prove the agency agreement. You have to defend against arguments that an agent has exceeded the authority in the agency agreement. Here, those arguments are protected against, one, the commission by requiring OTIs to be licensed, are giving people license that are qualified. That assures that those people who act as agents, as well as OFFs on their own, are qualified. The Landstar, I believe, indicates that they would do that. However, the commission is the only one with the duty to assure that people are qualified to perform those services.
The commission would have within its authority, I trust, to require an NVO to post financial responsibility device, bond, or surety, what have you, for every agent that it engages.
If I understand you correct, your question, I believe you're correct. Difference there is in terms of application of the scheme that was set out in the dissenting opinion. That would kind of negate the argument I believe it's being made, and that is that these agents don't have to be licensed if they're representing an NVOCC and don't otherwise themselves qualify as an NVOCC. We would say that notwithstanding the some differences between NVOCC and freight forwarding services, that an agent is virtually always, and I know virtually is not a good word, is
virtue is good, virtually is not. That's it.
Is always going to be performing ocean freight forwarding services. It might not perform specific NVO services like issue a bill of lading, but you can bet they're booking the cargo, they're filling out the bill of lading, they're calling trucking companies, they're arranging for insurance. That happens on many ships.
So let me just make sure I understand. An agent with a forwarding license can perform, under the commission's order, NVO services that are not freight forwarding services, so long as they have that forwarding license. Is that the regime that's out there now?
Well, I think what I'm saying is that these ocean freight forwarder agents or ocean freight forwarders in general provide services that are definitely those that are also provided by NVOs. NVOs, if they're operating,
so is the answer to my question yes or no? Can a agent with a forwarding license perform NVO services that do not constitute forwarding services under the current regime?
A qualified yes.
They can't issue a bill of lading, you said.
They can't issue a bill of lading, yet they can fill one out. They would be filling out Landstar's bill of lading.
The question is whether there's a list here of things that an NVO can do. And the question is, can an OFF do all those things? And at least on number four, you say no. They can't issue a bill of lading.
Correct. Right.
Is that the only one?
They can purchase transportation from a VOCC. They can make the payments to VOCCs and to other entities to transfer funds on behalf of their principal. They can pay port-to-port intermodal charges on behalf of their principal. They can enter into affreightment agreements with underlying ship. They cannot enter into affreightment contracts with underlying shippers in their own name. However, they can freight forwarders often negotiate contracts on behalf of shipper principals and sign on behalf of the shipper, issuing bill of lading or equivalent documents. They can prepare all of those. And I would, other than the holding out and the assumption of responsibility for the transportation, I would submit that is the same function that there's a distinction without a real difference in terms of what a freight forwarder can do and what the NVO holds out to do, because it moves the paper forward, the OFF.
This whole scheme doesn't make a lot of sense. A rational scheme would say if you're an agent for an NVO, you get an NVO agent license, and if you're a forwarder, you get a forwarding license, or maybe we'll have one merged license that allows you to do all these services. But
can you have both licenses?
You can obtain both licenses.
As an agent?
Well, at this particular time...
No, right?
No, you can obtain a license in your own right because the statute requires...
But not if you don't hold yourself out as a common carrier, you can't get an NVOCC license, correct?
Well, the assumption is that when someone applies for an NVOCC licensed as an OTI that operates as an NVO, that they will be doing that. So they wouldn't do that unless they plan on doing it.
Can I ask you how these licenses are titled? Let's say I'm ABC Company and I want to be an agent for Landstar. Does my license say ABC Company agent for NVOCC Landstar?
No, Your Honor. The Commission's regulations require that any license issued be issued in the name of the applicant and the licensee. Hence, ABC Company would be licensed as ABC Company. Landstar would have its own separate license. And yet there could be the Commission acknowledges that there can be an agency agreement with an ocean freight forwarder that permits this entity to provide services for the NVO.
If I'm ABC Company and I have an NVOCC license in my name, ABC Company, but I'm acting as an agent for Landstar, I can't do bills of lading?
As agent, you can fill them out. You'd be filling out Landstar's bill of lading.
Once I have that NVOCC license in my own name, I see, but I'm not holding myself out.
Correct.
Okay,
it's the distinction where there's...
If they've got an NVO license, they could hold themselves out.
They can hold themselves out for their own transactions.
If I wanted to provide the assurance and assume the responsibility for the transportation, even though it's going to be the ocean part, it's going to be provided by someone else, I could do that, right, as an NVO license, with an NVO license.
Absolutely. However, having that license and acting as an agent for another NVO, you wouldn't be holding out as NVO there. You would really be performing freight forwarding services to provide those services that move the cargo forward. The bill of lading would be issued in, for example, Landstar's name.
Why couldn't I issue a bill of lading and take responsibility?
You could. For example, if you had two customers, this customer over here is represented by no one, and the other is Landstar's customer. As an agent, you'd be issuing documents on behalf of Landstar. Right. You'd be issuing your own bill of lading to this other customer who has no representation.
And it might be an intermodal transaction.
Yes.
Okay. Now, before I lose you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I can't, I thought, issue a bill of lading for to the customer for Landstar if I have an agent's license, which looks like an NVOCC's license.
Well,
on its face.
As an agent, you would be filling out that bill of lading, and when I say issuing, Landstar would be if they're my principal NVO, licensed NVO, they would be issuing the license. It would be their form. They stand behind it as far as assumption of liability. A responsibility.
So if I'm dealing with a customer, I'm ABC Company, I'm the agent for Landstar, and I give that person, that customer, a bill of lading, it's going to have Landstar's name on it.
Yes.
All right. Let me draw a homey example and see if you think this is correct. An agent for Allied Van Lines is a local moving company, and if it's an interstate move, it issues a bill of lading. Well, it prepares a bill of lading, let's say, to be analogous, for approval by Allied. But if it's an in-state move, it's licensed by the state, it issues its own bill of lading.
That would be different from what the Commission, if I understand it.
I was hoping it would be the same. It'd be
slightly different because of the two jurisdictional.
I understand that's the difference. Well, let me ask you this before I lose you. The Commission issued a declaratory order, voted 2-1. Are there vacancies, two vacancies on the commission?
May I clarify that?
Please.
It was three to one. We have been operating with three commissioners so long that even I made that mistake in our brief. I apologize.
I guess it's an economy measure. to pay for the stimulus.
Yes.
All right, so the commission issued this declaratory order by a vote of 3-1. Does the commission vote again on the brief defending it?
No, that is produced by the Office of General Counsel, and we defend the commission.
Is it approved by the chairman?
We don't have a chairman right now, Your Honor.
So there's no one who serves as chairman among the four? The three?
It is, pardon me, business is being conducted at the concurrence of the three sitting commissioners.
Well, you've been there when there was a chairman, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does the chairman sign off on the brief, or is it just the general counsel's
view? The commission, I'm sorry, a chairman then would provide guidance, assuming he's in the majority. And commissioners are engaged indirectly in the process of seeing what comes out as far as the brief. May I make one additional point? With regards to 515.4C, the commission hasn't been given the opportunity to address that because that section was never raised below. As a result, we would contend that that's not properly before the court.
Did the commission rely on the answer this question at Chevron Step 1, relying on the language of the statute?
Yes, we our assertion is that Step 1 resolves the controversy, that the language of Section 19 is a prohibition across the board for ocean transportation OTIs that provide services.
And that's clear from the language of the statute. The commission didn't really went to the broader purposes, absurdity doctrine, variety of things that
they did that, but that was moving in support of the alternative that we put forth on step two.
But insofar as you're responding to the 4C argument, you're off on your own here.
Yes, Your Honor, I am, and may I say that section doesn't even bring them home. If you wish me to continue, 515.4C. says a common carrier or agent thereof. Landstar would have it that common carrier be read as licensed common carrier. They would also, however, not apply the license to agent. They've made an assumption there that really doesn't quite fit, because if you assume license is read before common carrier, the FMC would contend that you could just as easily argue that licensed is required before agent.
You didn't respond to their 4C argument in your brief.
No, Your Honor, we didn't. It was based upon the fact that it was not raised below.
Did you mention that in the brief?
We did not.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Tucker.
Thank you.
Mr. Monroe, it'll take 2 minutes.
Thank you. Your Honor, the only, I guess, the point I would make is for all the discussion of, the differences between freight forwarding services and NVO services, I think the comment was made, well, you know, it's a distinction without a difference. Well, it's a distinction that's in the statute. It's a distinction that's in the regulations, and presumably it means something.
We know there's some differences. They can't issue a bill of lading, for instance.
Yeah, among other things, and to say that it's that in practice it may not make any difference doesn't give guidance to the to the industry and to people who would be subject to enforcement if they run afoul of these differences without a distinction, because one presumes when it's in the statute or when it's in a regulation. There is it's a distinction with a difference. Okay.
I think it was Team Ocean and not Landstar that I believe that sought the general counsel's opinion. Is that
correct? No, it was Landstar.
It was Landstar. You got a favorable opinion.
That's correct.
But you didn't want to take yes for an answer.
No, that's not correct.
Okay.
We did take yes for an answer.
What'd you do?
We began doing business in compliance with that with the advisory opinion. Subsequent to that, another NVO forwarder NVO. Sought the order in this case to essentially confirm.
Was that Team Ocean?
That was Team Ocean, okay. And then Landstar intervened in that at the invitation of the FDFMC.
With friends like this, well, a problem.
Yes. And so that's how that took place.
So for how long were you operating in that period between the two, the general counsel's order and the commission's order?
You know, I have to be honest, I don't know. It was a period of, I think we got the order in January of 06, and the petition didn't start. You know, it wasn't filed until August, but it actually may have been before that. I'm not getting a nod of the head one way or the other.
Well, you didn't get a decision from the commission until good.
Oh, no, no. Yes, that's true. The decision was, I guess, 08.
So presumably you would have relied on the GC's order.
Yes. Yes, and we did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Monroe. Mr. Trogdon, thank you. Case is submitted.